We've looked at the fruits of the Spirit, and now we're looking at some of the disciplines. And today, it's going to be hard to make this one really cool for you because we're going to talk about study. You might think, oh, we've done hard stuff. We did fasting. What could be worse than fasting? Try to teach this one. This one can get to you. So here's how we're going to start this off. Yeah, this last week, my wife has been a little ill with allergies and the like, but she got her second wind, shall we say. And my wife, being the sweetheart that she is, has a remarkable talent, and that is that sometimes she can remind me of the Tasmanian devil. Let me explain. Not the animal itself, but rather the cartoon version, the one that spins like mad and you can hear it going, but she's more of a reverse Tasmanian devil because wherever she goes, she's cleaning. And she cleaned everything that I tried to sit on, and she moving about, constantly grabbing, she found places I didn't know we owned and cleaned them. That's what she does. Well, she came and she brought this accordion file to me, sat it down and said, this is full of old receipts and we don't need them anymore. Go through them and make sure. And I went, sure. And it was a box I forgot I'd owned for 10 years. So I got in and the receipts were overdated. And so we fed those into the shredder. But also there are 4 or 5 manuals in there, instruction manuals for things like radios and bicycles. I had never read these in the 10 so years we'd had them. Basically because I know how to operate both radios and bicycles, sometimes simultaneously. So I didn't need to read an instruction manual. Nobody ever runs to the house going, it came with a manual. We don't do that. We don't get excited about it. We don't even read them because people who wrote them don't know English. So there's no reason to read these things. Now, I've never been able to stand before people and say, and I found a love letter that had not been opened in 20 years. No. You get a letter, you open the letter, don't you? With mail, for example. I love one good thing about the economic downturn is that people aren't sending as much junk mail as they used to. That's a good thing. But we still get the mail and we bring it in and it's an exciting thing, you know, and we set it down and that's junk and that's junk and that's a bill. Let's say it's junk, you know, and we're setting things about. And every so often, it's very rare, but every now and then you get a real envelope with writing on it. Oh, writing? A letter? I've heard of these things. It's a relic from a different age. We must open this. And that gets opened first. It gets opened before anything else, something with handwriting on it. That's impressive. That's exciting. But if we get an envelope that says, inside is your instruction manual. Thump. We're not interested in that. It's hard to get people interested in reading something. And that's one of our problems, is we've told people that our Bible is an instruction manual to get you to be a good person and get you to God. No wonder nobody wants to read the thing. We say, study, and you think drudgery and pain. And here's the reason why. We know why people don't like to study. We've actually studied why they don't like to study. We started this back in the 80s, and like, the thing is, the shrinks know it, but the education units are not going to change the way they do things. We've been trying for 20 years, almost 30 years, to show them what's gone wrong. Here's the way it starts. Little kids are born loving stories, right? They want stories. They want to hear the stories. And you tell them stories, and they're very excited. You can read them stories, and they want to read it again. Do it. Read it again. We can say, you've memorized the book. If you don't think so, skip a page. They'll tell you, no, there's this word. And I didn't hear that word, buddy. Back up. And you read the word again. And you do this. They want their stories. And then they get a little older. And what do they want to do? They want to watch television. And they get stories with, doesn't matter whether it's Bob the Builder or Dora the Explorer, which how educational can that story, that show be when Dora doesn't even rhyme with Explorer. But anyway, you know, the backyard against whatever it is. These are stories. And they love their stories. And they'll watch cartoons, which are stories. And they go to school. And by most of them, when they go to school, they learn in stories. The teacher will tell them stories. They will read stories. And they love this. And then something begins to die in late middle school, early high school. What is it? We have found it, but we can't get it changed because the education establishment over here shrinks the establishment over here and they're not talking. All of a sudden, the teachers don't want you to read what you want to read. They don't want you to hear your stories anymore. What they want is you to read stuff that'll be good for you because it's important. And so all of a sudden, you've got a 15-year-old boy sitting there having to read Maya Angelou. Now, I'm sure Maya Angelou's a good person that loves her children, loves puppies, and loves daisies in the field after a spring rain. That's not the issue. The issue is that a 15-year-old boy still wants to hear his stories, and now he's having to read Maya Angelou. And that's not going to, but we're told, no, it's good for you. Really? Well, I can remember poor kids coming in from, here's what our teacher assigned us to read. It's a very important, we're told it's the most important story by the most important Japanese writer. I read the story. Nothing happened. There was it was pretty much interesting in a sense of, I don't know, nothing. There was paint drying, frogs dying, and there were ponds. But that was about it. There was nothing, and you know, we're supposed to now spend the next 3 days talking about the meaning of this. What happens, it kills the love of reading. You don't want to read anymore. You don't want to hear the stories anymore. So, and by the way, this happens in other fields as well. I used to actually like math. We weren't BFFs or anything, but I liked math. We answered each other's mail. You know, I wouldn't refuse its call. Until geometry. Geometry. That was the killer for me. Not so much the shapes. I like the shapes. Who doesn't like shapes? But it was when it came to proofs. Do you remember proofs? You see? That's what I'm talking about right there. Now, there are three people in this room right now that were going, proofs, yes! We don't like you, and we want to let you know that there are half-empty churches all over the place. All right? And people often wonder, did Patrick really do this? I really did this. Somebody needed to do this. I knew it was my turn the next day because the teacher said, it's your turn the next day. We want you, you're going to do this problem, and you're going to do that it's a circle and how big it is, and then you're going to do proofs that it's a circle. So I did. I brought four witnesses. We had signed documents. All of these have identified circles throughout their lifetime, and they have identified this as a circle and sworn thereunto. Now, the principal was very nice about this. We spent quite a long time talking while he pressed a button under the desk to it killed the love. Instead of just saying, I know how to figure a circle, this is a circle, that's how big the circle is, now I had to prove to somebody it's a circle. If you don't know that's a circle, quit teaching geometry. This is basic. And the same thing happens to reading. The same thing happens to study. What did history used to be? History used to be really cool. They let you wear little paper hats and walk around like you were Minutemen shooting British people. It's all right. I'm past it. Or if you didn't do gun things because that was your, you know, it was, I don't know what you did. But anyway, you acted it out. You know, you had Davy Crockett, you know, doing an interpretive dance to the Indians or something. But you acted it out. Then what happens? You get into a certain age, and anymore, it's not what history it is. It's what politics and what's important to us. And you got to learn these dates, and I don't care. And it becomes dry, and people quit reading. They don't want to read anymore. I have a friend who's a judge now. He was a lawyer when we were close, and we've moved off since, and he's a judge now. And the only thing he reads is Rolling Stone magazine. He's a cool judge, but he's a judge. The only thing he reads is, and I asked him, I said, why don't you read? And he goes, I read all day. I read all day long, and I come home, I don't want to read. Some of you are like this. You don't get to read what you like. Now, in my job, if I get to read all day long, it's pretty much stuff I like. And it doesn't turn me off. But some of you have to, it's kind of like computer. A lot of you love your computers. You're there by Facebook all day long, you know, in case something happens. You know, who's having fish? You want to know all of this stuff, right? Then there are others here that don't want to see a computer. Why? They've been looking at it all day. They don't want to look at it when they come home. Fair enough. I got that. Here's our problem. We crave stories. What happens to all of these kids? They go get their stories. They go find their stories. Where do they find them? TV is one. They're stories. They're stories about things that are never going to happen to us. Right? It's just not going to. If you filmed a reality show about an American family, you would be showing them sitting 60 minutes watching the television. That's not exciting. So you got to do something else. You know, throw Ozzy in or something. You got to change it up somehow. How does every situation on television get solved? Sex or violence? That's not a real healthy worldview. But there it is. Or they'll listen to music. What is music but poetry? Poetry's not bad. A story put in 3.5 to 4 minutes. They're looking for stories. Or they'll play video games and immerse themselves in the story. Oh, I was at a youth rally. There's this guy standing there with, and he was bragging and said, this guy was like 6'1", 92 pounds. He was so pale you could read through him. You know, he just doesn't get out much. You know, he's standing there talking to his friends, and as I'm walking by, he says, I'm like a 22nd level mage in this other. No, you're not. You're just a kid that doesn't get out. That's the only story you can find, and that's the story that you make. But whenever you actually encounter the world, you're not going to be able to hit the reset button and get a free life or go buy a magic sword of discernment. You're not going to be able to get this. We get our stories. We become heroes in our stories. That's why it doesn't say guitar adequate individual. It says guitar hero, right? And if people put the same amount of time on a guitar that they do in a Guitar Hero, they'd actually get to learn a skill. But anyway, no, I can press a button when it lights up. Yes, the chicken does that at the state fair playing tic-tac-toe. It's not that impressive. I'm going to calm down now. The problem is study has lost its fun because there are no stories. And when we come to our Bible, we go, really? And so we spent a whole Sunday on this during the identity series, saying the Bible is not a roadmap, although it does have directions in it. The Bible is not a law book, even though it does have laws in it. It is a narrative. It's a story. It's a set of stories. Now, it can be hard to discern some of the stories. I mean, you read the book of Numbers and you're going, I don't really get that story. You need the community to explain why that story was important to them and how that shows us a little bit about God. We need the community for this. We don't interpret this on our own. We believe these stories. And we as a group need to know these stories and we need to get them somehow back into our life. And the Bible says, in the old versions, not the new one that was read to you today by Veronica, but the old version. The one Paul used. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, or handling aright the word of truth. Now that word study, immediately, we all flatline, don't we? Study. I don't want to study. But the word study, actually, the King James used there, and notice the NIV did not. It said, do your best to present yourself. The word there is a word that means something a bit different than you might think. It doesn't mean surround yourself with all these books. Best way I can do it to you is, if you've ever been in Appalachia. If you've been in Appalachia, you've heard the kind of speech they have there, which is very much a remnant of Elizabethan English. It's the best, if you want to know what English people sounded like in the 1600s, that mountain accent and some of the phraseology is as close as you're going to get. And you'll hear older people sitting on the front porch saying, I was thinking about buying a car, but I'm still studying on it. Now, what does that mean? Are they actually buying reports? No, it means thinking. They're mulling it over in their head. They're thinking about their story. And the scripture says, do this, that murmuring, that meditation, move it around in your head for a while, work on this, test it out, see which works best for us. We've got a problem. Nobody, if you're relying on getting a good grasp of scripture by showing up every Sunday and getting a 25 to 30 minute book report, it's not going to work. You're never going to get a good grasp of scripture that way. But here is the good news. We have in this congregation over 24 people. We got over 24 people that step up every week to teach the Bible here. It's a resource. It's an incredible resource. These people are studying and working hard so that they can tell you a bit of the story every week. Now we have some slides. Let's put up the first one. I'm just going to run through some of the things we've got going on. In May, starting today, the hour before this meeting, there's a class on Romans. It's being taught by Tracy Hebert, Adam Hill, J.C. Thomas, and Keith Huey. That's a pretty impressive batting order right there. And it's a very impressive book. If Martin Luther said that if the entire Bible disappeared except for the book of Romans, he would have enough information to know God, how to please God, and how to get to heaven. Romans is important. It's packed with all kinds of stuff. That's going on. Do you have to know Hebrew and Greek and all this? No, no. We have four people that have been working hard to make sure that they tell you this story. It's free. Parents of Teens, World Religions class. That's pretty important. You need to know what Muslims teach and Buddhists teach and Hindus teach and like. Why? Because they live among us. They're our neighbors. We serve them. We go to school with them. We work with them. We need to know what they believe so that we may better engage them. Young families. There's a study of Ephesians and Colossians. Young families, if I were to hand you a blank sheet of paper and say, give me five important points out of the book of Ephesians, could you do it? You could if you took advantage of this. Ladies' class is studying 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and Titus. Let's go to our next slide, please. We have three of these. Wednesdays in May. Now, Wednesdays are a little bit more complicated. Here's the reason why. We have a monthly event called Refuge on the second Wednesday of every month. In here, there's an instrumental praise and worship time. So on non-refuge nights, there is a prayer class taught by Debbie Haskell, who has written a book about prayer. And she's leading people through prayer and what prayer is like and how to work through there on how to pray for the lost. That's on Wednesdays. Wisdom literature, John Laster and I are teaching that out of the book of Proverbs. That wraps up in May, and we will move on then to a different class you'll hear about in a minute. Parents of teens are doing world religions as well, again. On the second Wednesday, when there is a refuge going on, we're aware that that's not everybody's cup of tea. For some people, the music's too loud, or they're afraid I might sing or something. They want an alternative. We have people here that have stepped up to do that. There is a special topics class taught only on that night, the second Wednesday of every month. And the heavy hitters that are teaching that class are amazing, the roster they've got. And so are also the subjects. Each subject is a one-off, a one night you learn about that subject. What an opportunity that is. And then the last slide, please. Coming in June, I'll be teaching on Wednesdays, non-refuge nights. First, third, fourth, and if there's a fifth, justice, judgment, and mercy, mainly looking at the minor prophets. If you don't know the minor prophets and didn't know that prophets went mining, this is it. We're going to talk about that. Then hot summer nights. Now, this was a really good idea, and several people stepped up to lead this. And that is, again, if you don't want to hear me teaching about the prophets, there's an alternative. Get your lawn chairs, go outside. Probably will be good weather during this time. And you can, there is a praise and worship outdoors, plus a special topic that they'll hit. Look at all of this. Can you remember, some of you were raised in churches that were very, very small. Can you remember where there was only one Bible class to go to? Yeah. Or sometimes there wasn't even one. Why? Because the adults had to teach the one or two kids classes. The wealth of stuff here, we haven't even looked at the kids stuff. It goes on and on and on and on. People are stepping up. This is your opportunity to study by listening to what other people have mined out of the Word and get a story that you can work with, because we're part of this story. This is so important. This is meat here. Study to show yourself approved unto God. We study so we can know what pleases God. We study so we can know how to walk through this world and stay protected. But you can't join God unless you know who He is and where He's going. Real problem is a lot of people don't know what Jesus sounds like because they haven't read the scripture enough. And Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice. That's how they'll follow me. But the world will say, you know, Jesus would really say this and Jesus would do this. And what car would Jesus drive and who would Jesus bomb and this. They use Jesus as a political tool. And people follow them because they don't know Jesus' voice. We need to study so we can know, does that sound like Jesus or does it not? And make the appropriate call. The writer of Psalm 119, and we're not going to look at that today, really that's something which you could look at over a period of a month. It's the longest chapter in Scripture. Continually talks about that he protects his way, he protects his heart, he knows what to do, he handles himself well, always because the word of the Lord is in my heart. I've read the word of the Lord, I treasure the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is always before me. It's a great chapter to show us what study does for a person. And you know what we haven't even talked about yet? Small groups. There are so many small groups. You know, mine is completely full. My house is full. We have little rooms in our house. And so people kind of, they're stacked on top of each other, we've got that. Other people are having small groups through the week. A lot of them are on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening. And those of you that are in small groups already know this. They become your closest friends. They could become the people you can count on. They're your go-to people for prayer or for help. There are all of those out there as well, and we need more small group leaders. And all of these help us study, but they help us get our stories in and work within the story. Jesus talked to a couple of guys that had missed Easter, and that applies to a lot of people in here. I don't mean by that you weren't here on Easter. That's not it. What I mean is you've missed it. You've missed the power of Easter. You've missed the power of living a resurrected life. You don't understand that you're supposed to be rejoicing as you go through this life. Because you missed it. And how did Jesus sort that out? In Matthew 22 and verse 29, he said, "You're making this mistake because you don't know the scriptures." You want joy? Yeah, I know these scriptures. Oh, we've all seen religious people with their faces down, that type of people. They only know enough Jesus to be miserable. You know enough of him, he gives you joy. The scripture puts it another way, a little scarier, in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. "My people are destroyed by a lack of knowledge." They didn't know their word. And they got in the wrong place, and then now they're destroyed. We need to know this book. And it's not drudgery. Oh, it can be. I can remember as a boy, I can't even guess how old I was. We had the world's most boring Bible school teacher that time. He volunteered, and I don't know why they said yes. I guess because he could fog a mirror. But, you know, God bless him, at least he volunteered, right? And he taught us 13 weeks on the life of Joseph. It's hard to make Joseph boring. But God bless him, he pulled it off. He did. At the end of that 13 weeks, I was promoted to the next class. So excited. I was going over the wire. You know, this is the escape. You know, and I get into the next room, and they're just going to start a brand new series, 13 weeks, on the life of Joseph. It wasn't any more exciting. But at least it was different. It was a different kind of boring. You got several kinds of boring, and that was And it probably wasn't their fault. It could have been my fault. But the thing is, you can make this boring, but there's no reason to. Have you ever looked at the life of Joseph? It makes 24 look boring. The things that he goes through, the dreams, whose brother's in? You're my brother. I didn't know you're my brother. And this guy's in jail and all. It's incredible. And God wants us to know that story. He wants us to know the story of Paul. Look at Paul's life. Again, 24. He always takes a beating, but he keeps going, right? Paul was left for dead. He'd been stoned. He'd been scourged. He'd been shipwrecked a couple of times. You know who Paul was? Paul was that lady on Murder, She Wrote. Really. Now, I never saw Murder, She Wrote, but I know enough about the show that if ever she went to a party, somebody's dying. Right? It's like, now I did watch Bonanza when I was a boy, and I'm sorry if you don't know that show, but I always called it the Haas Cartwright syndrome. If any of the Cartwright boys fell in love with the girl, she's dead by the end of the show, right? We all understand this? Paul, everywhere he went, shipwreck, plague, arrest or the like, and yet, that's a great story. Don't make this boring. Tell the story. We keep looking for doctrine when God has given us a story. And said, now go play your part in this story. So go to the Word. Take advantage of these incredible resources you've got right here. And then tell the stories to each other. Share the stories. In fact, you really want to know this Bible? Teach. That'll do it to you. They'll send you off here in the third grade. You know, I'll teach the little ones. You'll think that'll be easy. You know, they'll look at you, what's the name of God's dog? And you're going, I don't know. Is that in here? Let me help you. No, it isn't. And you think, why didn't God name his dog? He didn't have a dog. Why didn't God have a dog? It's exciting. It really is. It's deep theology. You won't get most places. But you will know about God and his dog preferences before you get out of that class. And the same if you go and to teach in a class, like there are these four men that are teaching Romans. I guarantee you, if one of them is getting Romans 5, let's say, they are preparing for it now. In a way that they would not have if they weren't teaching, because you gotta really know it to tell the story. When you tell the story, you know it for the rest of your life. It's your story now. You've entered into the story. And as new portions of the scripture are opened up to you, get them. Put them in. There are cards like this. I mistakenly said to the first service that these were going to be mailed to them. That was evidently quite a lie. They're not going to be mailed to you. These are available at the information counter out here and also on the table here by the exit. These are a listing of what we're doing on Wednesdays. Not Sunday, but just Wednesdays. And we'll get another card for the Sundays. And it fills up the back. Take advantage of these things. If you don't like to read, I understand that. There are people who don't like to read. Sometimes it's because they have a learning disorder. Sometimes it's because they had a bad teacher. Sometimes it's because God just wired them that way. And I understand that. That's a gotcha. But some of you have learned that you can listen to the Bible on CD or on your MP3 player as you're going to work. Some of you have learned that you can listen to lessons, not from me, but from good preachers, you know, as you're going through. And that's what you were thinking. But you can, everywhere I go, people say, have you ever heard of this, Alistair Begg? And I'm going, yes, I have. And they say, he's a Scottish preacher. He's good. And I'm going, there could be two of us. And they always laugh. No, but really, you should listen to this guy. You can listen to lessons. You can talk to people. You can go to small groups. You don't have to love reading to get this done. But study is a good leaning into a beautiful life. Bring up your team if you would, please, Jeremy. Here's the deal. If you want God to shield you and you want to hold the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, you got to know the Word of God and you've got to be beside God. And if you want to know God and know where He's going so that you can walk with God, you have to study to show yourself approved. You have to know what's in the book. We can be, at this church, a people of the book. Don't you agree, church? If we can't do it here, it can't be done. Not with the resources we've got. We can do this. And once we do, our God will envelop us with His shield, because we will not be destroyed by lack of knowledge. No, we will know the Word. And the truth of the Word will set us free. Amen? Then let's sing.